good to see all of you here today. Hope you've had a wonderful, wonderful week. I would be remiss if I didn't say, go Cats. Over the last several weeks, we have been encouraging one another to have gospel conversations, sharing what God is doing in our lives with other people, recognizing what God is doing in our lives and being willing to share that with other folks. In some instances, that may look like inviting someone to join you and be a part of what God's doing in your life here at a Sunday morning service. In other instances, it may be to direct them to the truelife.org website where they can get some free video answers to life's hard questions. In other instances, it is to share the gospel with them and to help them see what we've been talking about here with this tool called the Three Circles. How's it going? Has anyone invited someone to church? Raise your hand if you have. If anyone has got to have gospel conversations with anyone, hopefully so. I see some hands. That's great. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, it's not too late. To get going. It is not. As you go throughout your day, I want to encourage you to find ways to talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. Now, most of us, maybe we're not really thinking about, because I know sometimes in my day it's really easy for me to just, you know, get up and get in my lane and just go in my lane. We call it the rut, right? It's kind of like autopilot. I get up, I take three steps into the bathroom, I brush my teeth, I take a shower, I do those sorts of things. I know exactly how my days are going to go. And oftentimes we fail to see where the Lord is working. We fail to thank Him for answered prayer. We fail to see how He has protected us and how He has brought circumstances together that'll help us. We fail to see that, and because we fail to see that, one, we don't give Him glory for it, worship Him and thank Him for it, and two, we oftentimes don't share it with other people. And so I want to propose to you that if we can somehow begin to recognize what God is doing in our lives every single day, then we will have something to talk about when we encounter people. We'll be able to praise the Lord for what He's done. We'll be able to share with them the things that He is doing. Now, I want to remind you of a biblical truth that we discussed 3 weeks ago, and that is that the gospel belongs to you. It does not belong exclusively to pastors and missionaries. It does not belong exclusively to church workers and that sort of thing. Not at all. The gospel belongs to you. And so I want us to remember that. And so what I would like us to do is to say that together. We'll say, the gospel belongs to me. And I think we have a slide for that. The gospel belongs to me. Let's say that together. The gospel belongs to me. Let's say it again. The gospel belongs to me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe it? If you believe that, I want you to say, I believe it. Just say it. I believe it. That's right. Okay, thank you. The gospel does belong to you. And I can think of at least two ways in which it belongs to you. Number one, if you're a Christian, it belongs to you because it is your salvation. It is what brings you your salvation. So if you are saved, it belongs to you because it is indeed the gospel that has saved you. It has to do with you receiving it yourself. You say, I have received the good news about Jesus. I've received the gospel, and it belongs to me. It is mine. It is what saved me, the gospel. Another way that the gospel belongs to you is that it is for others' salvation. It has to do with spreading the gospel to others. And that is specifically what we're talking about. We want people to experience the gospel for themselves and to be saved by it, and then we want us to be able to share what God has done in our life and continues to do in our life, and that spreads the gospel to other people. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, For I am not ashamed. This is Apostle Paul. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile or the Greek. It is the gospel that is the power of God to salvation for everyone. Whoever believes, and it's one thing, there's the gospel. It's what it is. It's the power of God for saving us and for saving others. And that is indeed what we're talking about. If you have received the gospel, then we are commanded by our Lord to give the gospel. If we receive it, we are to give it. I don't know why this is. Maybe it's just in my family. But it kind of reminds me of a birthday cake. The gospel is like a birthday cake. Okay? If it's your birthday, you get a cake. And it's beautiful. You get to pick your piece of it, right? You know, I always take the one with lots of icing on it. That was before my diet. But I don't know. I guess I'll take some almonds this year. I don't have a clue. But anyway, you get this cake, and it's yours. But what do you do after you sing, you blow out the candles and all that? What do? You serve it up. You start giving it out. That's the way the gospel is. Once you've received it, once you have it, then you serve it out to others. And you let them enjoy the beautiful gospel cake that you get to enjoy. Makes me hungry. We might just ought to stop it right now and go eat. It's been a while since I've had cake. Can't think straight. Anyway, when Jesus was sending out the disciples two by two in Matthew chapter 10, this is what he said. He's sending the disciples out. He says, and proclaim as you go. Okay, proclaim. That is to speak forth, to preach, to talk, like I'm proclaiming right now, for you to proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying. Give without pay. As you receive, you give as you go. As you're in your normal rhythms of life, when you're out there in the world having conversations in the family, in the workplace, in the home, in the workplace, in your neighborhood, in the store, as you go, proclaim what God is doing. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Help people. Pray for people. Whatever it takes, help them. Pray with them. Whatever. And then he says, as you have received without paying, you give without pay. Other versions of the Bible say, freely you have received, freely give. When you receive, you become a giver. Again, it's the birthday cake. As you go, as I go, I proclaim. And to be honest with you, we really don't, I mean, I can't speak for you. And this is why we're talking about this, because I do believe that this needs to be something that we are proud to talk about our Lord. We boast in the Lord, as Paul said. We boast in what he's doing. I don't believe that I take the opportunities that the Lord gives me to share with others what he's doing in my life. I see God, his hand working in my life, my family, my church, my friendships, my relationships, and provision. And I just kind of take that stuff in. But those are opportunities the Lord gives me to, as I go, proclaim his kingdom. To as I go proclaim what it looks like to be his child. To as I go to proclaim what it looks like to be a part of his family. And so I miss those opportunities. And one of the things that happens is I believe the Lord is robbed of his glory, because not only would he receive the glory in my life as I'm worshiping for it, other people may glory in him too for that if I share that. As you go, give them the gospel. But what is the gospel? That's the question today before us. What is this gospel? And that brings us to these three circles that you have. The gospel. First, let's review. The gospel, or the three circles, rather, is a conversational and relational way to share the gospel with people as you go throughout your daily life. It's a conversational way. And hopefully, if you've been here over the last 2 weeks, you will already know that. If not, that's okay. We're going to cover everything again today. and it'll be in there. And we've given you your bulletin. The front of the bulletin that you received when you came in has that on it, and we want you to write on that, take notes. There should be pens and paper if you didn't get a bulletin at the end of the pew. You can pass that down, make sure everyone has what they need. But I want everyone writing this down as we go. Now, the first week, we talked about the first circle, which was God's design. So let me write that on here. God's design. God's design. And we saw how God has a design for your life, for my life. He has a design for our lives. We see that. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we see that God made everything He made, and He made it good. And He made things for us to enjoy, and He made those things good. He made the planet, the trees, the sky, the stars, the people, Adam and Eve. He made them good. And He made them so that He could enjoy a relationship with them, and so that they could enjoy a healthy relationship with one another. It was God's design, and it was good. The Bible says that God, they would enjoy, Adam and Eve would actually enjoy relationship with God, that He would come and He would walk with them and He would talk with them. They had intimate, close relationship with God and with one another. It's very important to remember that. That's God's design. But something happened. Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. And what they did was they believed that God's design was not good for them anymore. They believed that God was holding something back from them. And so they decided to go their own way. They decided to leave God's design. Okay? And any time that people leave what God's intended, His design, for their own way, that's called, the Bible word for that, is sin. Sin. God, You have a way. You have designed my relationship to be like this with You, my relationship with others to be a certain way. He's designed that. But when we say, God, we know better, we go our own way, the Bible calls that sin. And sin always leads to something called brokenness. And that's this next circle, brokenness. Brokenness. When I go my own way for my relationships rather than God's way, it leads to broken relationships. When I try to get out of relationships the things that I want and the things the world tells me I ought to have rather than what God says those relationships should look like, it leads to brokenness. And then we start trying to fix that brokenness, don't we? We try to do things to fix brokenness. You know, you might trade in your wife on a new one. I mean, people try that. Good people that we know. Or trade in her husband. That's brokenness. You may try to numb the pain of the brokenness in your life with drugs. Leads to addiction. Some people try to use alcohol and they become addicted and they become they drink too much and all sorts of things that we try to do to fix brokenness just leads to more and more brokenness. Is that not true? We know that. Everything we try to do our way rather than God's way leads to brokenness. And then we start trying to fix that brokenness our own way, and that leads to more and more brokenness, more and more dysfunction, more and more sin, more and more. And we think about that brokenness and we're like, man, that's a bad, bad thing. And all of us have experienced brokenness. Our whole community, everyone in the world has, because we've all experienced sin. And we think that's a bad thing, and it can be a bad thing, but it can also be a really good thing. Because brokenness is what God uses to get our attention. Brokenness is what God uses to show us that something's got to change about the way we're living our life. And what God has done is when we realize that something's got to change, okay, it leads us over here to this circle. Kind of the scale's wrong, but it's all right. This circle is the gospel. The gospel. Okay? When we realize, can you see that? Should have wrote that in black. When we realize that something's got to change, when God uses our brokenness to show us that our ways of making decisions and the things that we're trying to do are not His ways, we realize we need to change. There's a biblical word for that change, and that word is to what? Repent. And when we repent, we do something else. We put our faith in Christ as the gospel. We repent and what? Believe. We believe. And what we believe is the gospel. We believe. And the gospel is this. It's not complicated. The gospel, that word gospel, is a biblical word that means good news. I could be saying good news rather than gospel. I'm just using the Bible words. We just read it in Romans 1. The gospel. It's not a shame of the gospel. It's not a shame of the good news, because it's the power of God to salvation. The gospel is this. That God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. To live a perfect life. He's God in flesh. To live a perfect life. A life that we couldn't live. A life dedicated and completely obedient to God's design. The life that God, the Father would have for all of us. Jesus came and lived that sinless life. And the Bible says that God allowed Him, or even sent Him, to be crucified on a cross to pay for our sin. He, Jesus Christ, lived the perfect life, never sinned, so He didn't owe anything. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It says that all of us have sinned, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That is, Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for our sin. Every single one of us, we have this in our life. And Jesus died. And then what happened was, something happened. Something happened on the third day, and that is, and I don't know if I can draw this. I'll try. Maybe something like that. Uh-oh. I'm not going to show you until I get it right. Okay. An empty tomb. On the third day, Jesus got up out of that grave, that tomb that they put Him in, and He started walking around and talking to people. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about Doubting Thomas. One of His disciples did not believe that He rose from the grave. He said, I'm not going to believe I saw Him die unless I can see His hands and touch His hands and put my fingers in His side. I'm not going to believe. Guess what? Jesus showed up. He said, here I am. Touch me. Give me your hand. Put it in my side. And what did Thomas say? My what? And my Lord and my God. And that's the gospel that Jesus, and so it proves that Jesus, the resurrection proves that He's who He said He was, that He did what He said He would do, and that He can do what He says He can do. And the Bible says that when we realize that this brokenness in our lives causes us to realize that we have been sinning, we have been going against God's design, that God will use this to get our attention so that He can deliver to us His gospel, that is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believes. So we repent of our way, and we say we believe in God's way. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. That is the gospel. And once we believe the gospel, something beautiful happens. What happens is that God enters our life through the power of His Holy Spirit, and He gives us the ability now to recover, I don't know how I'm going to write this, recover and pursue His design. And He tells us to go out into the world and share that with others. Recover and pursue His design. Go out and share that with others. That's the three circles. That is the gospel. I'm going to rewrite this so you can see it. And we have the opportunity not only to know that, but to live in this. To live in this. Because sometimes, even though we've believed this, and I would ask you, where are you on this? Have you ever believed in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? Have you ever put your faith and trust in His death and burial and resurrection? You say, I need your forgiveness of sin. I believe that you died on a cross for me. And you confess that to Him. You pray that. You can say that. You can believe that. And the Bible says that He forgives you of your sin and He moves into your life so you can recover and pursue His design. Well, guess what that means? Not only am I forgiven of sin, but when I talk about recovering God's design, recovering and pursuing, that means this gospel right here that saved me from my sin is also powerful enough to change my relationship with my family. It's also powerful enough to change these addictions. It's powerful enough to change the way my work ethic. It changes me. And what happens is, it is the Holy Spirit of God living within me and within you that gives us that power. It's His power. And so many of us, although we may be saved, we may have believed this recently or even a long time ago, we have decided that we still want to do some things our way. Run my family my way. Run my job my way. What's the solution to that when I realize there's brokenness in that? My way's going wrong. It's the gospel. Repent, believe, and allow the Lord to send me in His way. That's what we're looking for. That's the three circles. The gospel. I want to share with you a few things about the gospel. That's it. Then you know. How many people think they could share that with someone? Raise your hand if you think you can. I think I could do it. And I could share parts of that. You know, somebody says, man, why does life stink? Brokenness. Doesn't have to be that way. Sin, there's a solution. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, it tells us what this gospel is. It says, Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers. Actually, this is God Almighty talking through Paul. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. Which you received, in which you stand. Remind you of the gospel, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received from Christ, or received. Look at verse 3. He delivered to them what? What he received. It's the birthday cake principle. I just made that up. I'm going to write a book on that. The gospel's like birthday cake. There it is. He delivered what he received. That's what God has us to do. We receive the gospel, then we give the gospel, and that is what? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. when you or anyone else, when I repent of my sin and I trust in what Jesus Christ did, because I know I can't do it myself. I realize that. All my brokenness, all of my ways has shown me, even as a Christian, my ways are messed up. And I trust in God and what Jesus has done. The Bible says there's forgiveness of sin. That's the gospel. That he died on a cross. He came and lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He was risen again. God made a way out of our brokenness. In Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. That is the first glimpse we see of the gospel. The first glimpse of that. God has said to Satan that he is the son of a woman will indeed crush Satan's head. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. That's the gospel right there. Yeah, it bruised Jesus' heel. He was beaten up pretty badly. He was killed and put in a grave, but he overcame it. Just a bruised heel. Just a hole in the hand. That's all. What happened after Adam and Eve sinned? God sacrificed an animal in order to cover their sin. When they sinned, all of a sudden their eyes were open. They felt shame. They felt guilt. They could see their own nakedness. And so the Bible tells us that what God did was he took an animal and he killed it in order to make for them garments, garments of leather, garments of the animal's clothing, to cover up their nakedness. That's Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. God loves us, and he wants to cover our sin. That is what that was. He covered their sin. They felt shame. They felt nakedness. And so he gave them something to cover that up. But did it really cover it? No, it didn't. It didn't cover what was inside. It only covered the outside. It was only a picture of what a covering should look like and what would look like. And so God loves us so much that he sent his son to shed his blood to cover our sins once and for all. To cover your sins once and for all. You see, what happened was after God killed that animal and sacrificed it so he could get close to cover up these people's nakedness, Adam and Eve's nakedness, then this what set in motion was a sacrificial system. That every so often, because people are all sinning and living lives of brokenness, God said, hey, I want to remind you that I'm going to provide a covering for you. And so they would come and they would sacrifice animals. Over and over and over again, every year, every month, every week, people would sacrifice animals because God said, I'm providing a covering for you. When you do that, there's a covering provided for you. It wasn't the animals who was that was forgiving them. It wasn't the fact that it was a picture of what would come one day when God would provide the real covering. And in Hebrews 10:10-14, he tells us about that. It says, and by that we have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So it doesn't have to be repeated. Verse 11 says, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That's those animal sacrifices. The priest would offer repetitively over and over these animal sacrifices that would remind the people that they needed God's covering. And that these sacrifices, they never completely took away sins because they had to go, the next time they sinned, they had to go and sacrifice another animal. Could you imagine that? In verse 12, it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. The single death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ sanctified for all times, forgiven us of our sins for all time, past, present, and future, all who repent and believe in the gospel. That's powerful. That's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. God made a way out of sin and brokenness. Again, the gospel is simply Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. The gospel saves us from sin. Thirdly, we just have to repent and believe the gospel. That's really it. That's it. Sometimes we make it complicated. You don't have to pray a prayer. You may express repentance and belief through a prayer. We've given you the biblical language. Father God, I've sinned against your design. That has wrecked my life and left me in brokenness. I realize there's a problem. I'd like to repent of my sins and believe you. I want to change and I want to believe what you've done for me on the cross for salvation. I put my faith and trust in you. But God moves into your life and he starts working in your life. You may express that through a prayer, but it's not the prayer that saves you. You may say, I'll walk in front. It's not walking forward that saves you. It is repenting and believing in the gospel. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. God wants to save us. In John 3:16-21, very familiar. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible also says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God wants to save you. He wants to save others. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because of their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus wants to save us. God, Jesus is God. God in flesh. He wants to save you. He wants to save us. He wants to save others. And indeed, God does help us recover and pursue his design. He removes the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And as we submit to his design in our lives, in every area of our lives, then God does something in here. As we submit to him and his gospel, and we allow that gospel to touch our relationships, we allow it to touch our work, we allow it to touch our pride, we allow it to touch all of those aspects of our lives, then God does miracles in our lives. He starts to reverse the brokenness. We start to see people healed. We see families coming back together. We see people loving one another the way the Bible says we should love one another. The Holy Spirit of God indwells and empowers us to pursue a relationship with God like he intended and a relationship with one another like he intended. It's his Holy Spirit that empowers us to do that. He restores us to us the way it's supposed to be. He reconciles us. He repairs what was broken and he sends us right back out into the world to help others experience the same grace, the same love, the same forgiveness. And that brings us to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're made new. You're new. You're in Christ. You believe in him. You repent. You believe. You're a new person. You're a new creation. You're in Christ. You're in his forgiveness. You're no longer in your sin. You're no longer in yourself. You're now living and breathing and walking, talking in him. The Bible says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, oh look, wait, verse 18. It's the birthday cake principle. Do you see, can you go back to 18? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. We got the cake. And then he gave us the ministry of cake giving, reconciliation. You see that? It's right there. 19, that is, In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sin against them, and entrusting to us, there it is again, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, because of all of that, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're begging you to be reconciled to God. That's what we do. We beg one another, and then we beg others to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When you repent and believe, you become the righteousness of God. You may still have some of this in your life, but God don't count that against you because Jesus paid for it. You sing the song, he paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a guilty stain, he washed it white as snow. All that's gone. You're in Christ. You are the righteousness of Christ. And then as you begin to use his power in you to recover and pursue, then he starts fixing some of that. It's a beautiful thing. And the Bible says that we are his ambassadors now. One is to receive it, to own the gospel first. The gospel belongs to me. To own that salvation, to claim it as mine, for you to claim it as yours. Does the gospel belong to you? You're saved. You say, I know I'm saved. I believe. I know I believe. I'm so grateful, so thankful. And if not, believe and repent. And then if the gospel, you say, yes, it does belong to me, then it belongs to you to share with others. It belongs with you to let other people see the glorious work that God is doing in your life, because they may want him to do that in their life too. Where do you see yourself? Where are you on the diagram? Where are you with God? Where are you with the gospel? Where am I? So right now, this is the invitation time. If you have never repented of your sin and believed in him, but today you believe that God is calling you to that, you see that, you believe it, you finally say, Lord, I realize my way is sin, and I want to change. I want to turn from that. I've tried changing. I've tried all kinds of things to fix it, but it just makes it worse. And now, Lord, I want to try your change. I want to believe in you. I want to trust in what you did to forgive me of that. I want you to enter my life and help me. And you would say that today. You would say that. You say, Lord, that is my prayer. Maybe you pray it. Maybe you just believe in it right now in your heart, talking to God about it through your thoughts. Maybe you're hearing you saying, I need to let the gospel touch some areas of my life that I've been holding back from God. Maybe that's us. That's me. And maybe we're here today and we're saying, hey, God's given us a beautiful gift. We do need to share it with the world. Lord, today, help me. Help me to start sharing with others what the work you're doing in my life day in and day out. If you want to come and pray in a moment, you can come and pray. I'm going to pray for us. If you want to come and pray, you can pray. If you're making a decision, you want to make that public, and you want to let people know so they can be praying about it too, you can come and you can talk to me. If you just want to talk to me and you don't want to make anything public, that's fine. You got something going on in your life. There's some area of brokenness, whatever's going on. You want to come and pray about that? You can do that. This time's the time. We're going to sing a song, and you can do whatever it is you need to do. You can talk to the Lord. You can talk to others.